The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
What is the theology of 2022? What's up with that? What is the theology of 2022? We're going to unpack that today, just as kind of an umbrella terminology, an umbrella way of looking at it. On Theology Thursday, welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show with our friends at BJU Seminary. So earlier, you might have seen this. I posted it on social media. It's starting to show up all over the place. The Supreme Court comes to a decision earlier today. It's kind of a split decision, kind of like being in the boxing ring, and they shoot down the president using OSHA as a way to enforce their vaccine mandates on businesses of 100 or more employees. But, however, they left the mandate, the access to the mandate for the federal government for healthcare workers. So some people are off the hook. The healthcare workers, if you're a healthcare worker, you're not. Many of you I know, and I've been exchanging information with you for months now with respect to the vaccine mandates. So 2021 could have been a very difficult year for you. 2022 could be full of uncertainty and fear. And so how do you deal with that? And we're walking into that now. We know that inflation in December was at over 7%. That was the worst that we've seen in 40 years. Get this. I don't know if you saw this. Wholesale inflation in the wholesale segment, meaning like if you look at Ford Motor Company, how much they pay for steel and rubber and parts and chips and everything they use to put a car together. Wholesale prices in December were up 10%. That's the biggest leap in 1 month in the history of the United States. So that's going to cause some fear and uncertainty as we go into the new year because the economy is shaking, inflation hits us all, and so there's a lot. We don't even know what's going on with the election. We think we know, but we don't know for sure. COVID, Omicron, everybody's got Omicron. I had about 10% of my own students out this week with that. And so what's the government going to do as the virus weakens? A lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty as we turn the corner from 2021 into 2022. So what do we do there? How do we approach this from a biblical Christian perspective? So today, with our friends at BJU Seminary, specifically Dr. Sam Horn back in the house, and as we always do each week, which I love this, we're always kind of basing our conversation on the air based on an outstanding blog post that our friends at BJU Seminary came up. This is Seminary Viewpoints, and so the blog post, I'll put the links up for you in just a couple minutes, Lessons from Samuel. So we're going to look to the prophet Samuel, on reawakening in 2022 as we're struggling with things. And you go into the new year, and of course, we're talking about New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. The stats on that are not very good. Only 6% of us, by the way, keep our New Year's resolutions. So the older you get, I don't even bother anymore because I know for the most part, I'm going to blow those off. But it's difficult to walk into a new year. Theologically, the fact that we change the calendar doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning, but we put a lot into the changing of the calendar. So today we'll walk down this road with Sam. Lessons from Samuel on reawakening in 2022. Accept, obey, and observe. And we were talking to Alan Benson last week, and we were talking about chaos and confusion, and God's on the move, whether you believe it or not. And do you want to be a part of that? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to look into 1 Samuel 16 and kind of consider what he learned because he was coming out of a tumultuous period. Saul, his boy, the obvious choice, is going down. Okay, so what's coming next? What's going to happen? And so it's great to have our good friend Dr. Sam Horn back in the house. Sam, how are you? Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Steve. Happy New Year to you and to all of the listeners to your show. And we're off to a great start. And as you said, a lot of chaos. A lot of confusion, a lot going on in the world around us. And how do you navigate that? And I think I've always had a little practice. I learned it from a mentor. And that is when you're in a position, you need to go to the scripture and see if you can identify anybody else in the scripture who was in a similar position. So when you think about chaos and confusion and uncertainty and all of the things that you talked about, and even just listening to you sort of summarized them a minute ago, it's a scary time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a worrisome time to be in a country that for many, many decades, many, many years has had freedom, and some of those freedoms are being deeply challenged. Mm-hmm. All the uncertainty economically that's coming our way. Is there a time, is there a place, is there a person who navigated a similar set of circumstances.
Yeah.
And I think we have a story like that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where the prophet Samuel is actually sitting at home, and he's mourning, he's worried, and he's confused. Those three things. He's mourning, he's grieving over something that God has decided to allow.
Yeah.
He's confused about what it all means for the future and for the nation and for the promises that God has made. And he's trying to navigate, what am I supposed to do now? And that story is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it comes at the end of Saul's reign. You remember Saul, the first king of Israel.
Oh, yeah, the obvious choice.
Yeah, he was tall.
The Brad Pitt of his day, plus a little height.
Yeah, and so, you know, and you will remember, Samuel actually told the nation, don't do this. This is a bad choice. And if you do this, it's not going to go well for the nation. And the nation came back and said, we don't care.
Right.
This is the guy we want. There's a lot of parallels to what happened in this last election.
Sure, give us the king, right? Yeah.
I mean, give us who we want. And so they got who they wanted, and it didn't turn out the way they thought it would.
Well, that's, and bringing up Samuel into this, and we're talking to Dr. Sam Horn today from BJU Seminary on Theology Thursday, bringing Samuel into this is a great lesson as we – one of the beautiful things about Scripture that I love is how honest it is and how broken and messy it is. And now the Bible doesn't endorse everything it records, but it records a whole lot. And so oftentimes I think, if I got a parenting problem, Sam – I'm going to call somebody else that's already had kids my kids'
Correct.
Age right now. If
Correct.
I have an issue with, if I'm fighting cancer, I'm going to call somebody that's dealt with cancer. I'm always going to go to somebody that's been there, done that. And Samuel, I don't know. I mean, the way you set it up is a big deal that Samuel is facing all kinds of fear and the unknown and everything kind of collapsed. That does sound very familiar. Today in America in 2022, it's January 13th, 2022. Just go back 3 years, Sam. I don't think any of us could have imagined America would be the way it is right now.
Not at all. Not at all. And I think Samuel is in that spot because he worried about this with the people. If you choose this king, it's not going to go well for you as a nation. And then he argues with God about it. And God says, look, let the people have what they want.
Yeah.
And so they got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. And that is exactly what happens when God gives us our way, when we insist on going our own way. So here comes the end of it now. Samuel has been given a difficult assignment by God. He's to go to Saul, and he's to say to Saul, God is done.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah, God is done. The kingdom may still be under you for the next couple of years, but God's done.
Yeah, so what do we do next? We're talking to Dr. Sam Horn. It's Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. Three super important lessons that we all need to learn so that we can have the help we need for this new year. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. We are going to talk about and remind you of something that we've been talking about on the air and you've been hearing, which is the CORE Conference coming up. That's on January 31st and February 1st. That's a Monday and half a day on a Tuesday. And specifically, by the time we get to the end of the show, we're going to encourage you and challenge you to consider doing that just as a way to bless your pastor, your own pastor. Because pastors need a lot more than we think they do. Oftentimes we mistakenly assume that our pastors are super Christians. And so there's no way that they deal with the same kind of garbage that we do because they're just better Christians than we are. That's a lie. Okay, that's not true because the thing I can tell you about every pastor on the planet is they're still human beings. They still struggle with their own sin, other people's sin. They're still in the same mess that we are. And so one way that you can bless them, specific to what we're talking about today, is to bless them with just helping them get to the CORE Conference, which is coming up in Greenville, South Carolina, on the campus of the seminary and the university down there. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But today, kind of looking into 2022, how do we deal with this? A lot of fear, a lot of the unknown. We are already mourning because the things that have been going on in the country for the last couple of years. So it's a very difficult season for most of us. And even though there was a win in the Supreme Court today, if you're a healthcare worker, there's no win for you there. They can still mandate that. I know people, and we're here with Dr. Sam Horn with BJU Seminary. I know people, Sam, that have lost their job and chosen to lose their job. Some have been thrown out, and they've been in the medical field for 20, 25, 30 years. And I guarantee you there's mourning going on there. There's fear. There's uncertainty in the future. And we are going to learn about how to deal with that from the great prophet Samuel. But I mentioned something at the beginning of the show, Sam, I wanted to circle back around to, because you said you preached on this recently at Palmetto Baptist, where you're pastoring down there. I kind of poo-pooed the whole notion of resolutions, but you used resolutions in a recent seminary. So let's revisit that for a second. Then we'll start looking at these lessons that we can learn from the prophet Samuel.
Yeah. So, Steve, I actually agree with your initial point that a lot of people make all kinds of resolutions at the beginning of the year. And by the end of the month, most of those resolutions have faded. Mm. You know, my wife and I walk in our neighborhood, and generally when we walk out, there's about a 2-mile little loop we do. And generally we're by ourselves. Well, this month the streets have been packed, and every day there's fewer and fewer people. So you're right about the fact that we make a lot of resolutions that we don't keep.
Yeah.
But the idea of making a resolution has the behind the concept of a resolution is this firmness of purpose, this commitment that I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to have firmness of purpose mm-hmm. to carry out that decision in order to affect change in my life or in my direction or in some ministry that I'm a part of or some endeavor that I'm doing. So resolutions are actually really key. And when you come to the story we're looking at in 1 Samuel 16, there are a number of resolutions that Samuel has to make if he's going to navigate the future successfully. And those are the very same resolutions we're going to have to make because we're in a very similar circumstance.
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
have a king like Saul, but we have the same amount of chaos. We have the same amount of confusion. We have the same amount of uncertainty. And we certainly are going through a time of grief and fear.
Yeah.
And that's where we find Samuel.
That's right. And it's such a and so there's basically three main lessons we're gonna work through today on Theology Thursday. And the first one, which I want to touch on because this is important, lesson one, instead of mourning the past, we must accept God's decisions. Does that mean, Sam, that there's no place in mourning? If 2021 was a terrible year for you, is this kind of like the American way, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, quit whining, suck it up and move on? Or is there a place for mourning, at least for some period of time?
So I think the answer is in the verse itself. When God says to Samuel, how long are you going to keep mourning? Because if you go back to chapter 14 and chapter 15, you find out Samuel has been mourning. So there's an appropriate way in which we express grief and sorrow and fear. It's not like God says to us, you know, you can't ever talk to me about what you're hurting about or what you're fearful about or what you're worried about. Because obviously the scripture, especially the book of Psalms, is filled with that kind of talking to God.
Right.
But what's going on here is this, that at some point you can get overwhelmed. Lament can keep going on and on yeah. and on, and it's paralyzing. And so God has to come to this prophet and say to him, how long are you going to do that? So the first lesson that we learn from this narrative in 1 Samuel 16 is that Samuel has to resolve to do something. He has to resolve to accept God's right to make certain decisions.
Wow.
And those are decisions that Samuel himself would not have made, and,
sure.
and they're decisions he's not happy about. He doesn't agree with them. I mean, it's really clear the word used for grief here is not like just being sad. It's almost like there's a tinge of anger.
Yeah. This is a ripoff.
Correct. God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is going to destroy the nation. This is going to hurt your people. I told you not to do this at the beginning, but you're God, so you get to do it. And now here we are,
yeah.
and it's just falling apart, and now you're ripping the kingdom away from Saul.
Which can also be, we're talking about it on kind of a nationalistic level, but this can be a personal level.
Absolutely.
And right now, I'll just reveal something that's very close to my heart. My mother, who's 90, is in her last days, and she's struggling each day, and so myself and my three siblings were all like, okay, Lord, just get her out of here. You know, she's made a profession of faith. Get her out of here. I have no idea why that why not today instead of another 3 days or another 4 days, and both my sisters are having to be there and tend to my mother. It's very, very difficult, and it's okay to mourn that, but at one point I'm like, okay, well, this is just God's will right now, so I can't change that. I can trust his character in this. So the question is, okay, Lord, what do you want us to get out of this extended period of time? We don't like it, But it is the way it is. And so we have to accept it and then kind of move forward to see what the Lord has for us. Is that about right? Am I on the right track?
That's right. And it's not like you could just turn off your grief. It's not like there's this little button that you push, but you sanctify your grief. In other words, you submit your grief to the overarching direction and will of God. So that's always where you start.
Yeah.
So Samuel had to come to the place, and God had to help him get there. I mean, God actually speaks to Samuel, and so the way he speaks to us today is through his word. And it's the Spirit of God coming to us and saying to us, look, I know it's confusing, I know it's painful, I know it's not what you wanted, but Samuel, you have to let me be God.
Yeah.
You have to know that I'm up to something. And here's the thing. We know the rest of the story. We know the king that's coming. And if Samuel knew in chapter 16, verse 1, what Steve, you and I know right now, he would be jumping up and down for joy.
Right, piece of cake.
But he doesn't know any of it yet.
Right.
All he knows is that his world is in chaos. He's got personal danger in this. Mm-hmm. He's got skin in the game, and his neck is on the line.
Yeah.
Because God's about to ask him to get engaged in the thing he doesn't want God to do.
Yeah, and that's where, and we'll set the next point up when we come back, lesson two, and we're running off of the blog post today that Sam wrote that's up on the website. So if you go to seminary.bgu.edu/radio, you'll land right there and you can see it. Lessons from Samuel on reawakening in 2022, to accept, to obey, and to observe. And that at some point, just even with my mother's situation, Sam, are like, okay, this is what it is. So instead of unwallowing in our uncertainty, then we have to obey God's instructions for the present and get with his program, because he's doing something. So now we got to move from being kind of stuck in that position to moving forward to see what the God of the Bible, what our Lord and Savior is doing. We're going to talk about that next, talking to Dr. Sam Horn today from BJU Seminary on Theology Thursday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at BJU Seminary, here with Dr. Sam Horn, talking about, as we move into 2022, and most of us are going to break whatever resolutions we made, but to be resolute and understand that even though we're disappointed in so many different ways, like some people are excited today, as the Supreme Court said, the vaccine mandate using OSHA as the hammer, can't do that. All the businesses with 100 employees or more, that's unconstitutional. However, the other side of that coin is they left the constitutionality in for the healthcare industry to vaccine mandate their people. And so a lot of you, I've gotten messages from folks and emails and had conversations that you're lamenting or mourning the loss of a job, or your spouse's or loved one's job, or maybe your son or daughter's job in the healthcare industry because they didn't want to go down the vaccine road. And so they're uncertain about where they're going. For some of you, I know people, Sam, we're talking to Dr. Sam Horn. I know some people that have been in the healthcare field for 30 years. And all of a sudden, they're like, I don't know what else to do. I'm a nurse, or whatever the case may be. So they're facing uncertainty. This is not a new story. Someone once said, new news is old news happening to new people. I'll default to Solomon, who said there's nothing new under the sun, and that's true. Yeah. So we look to the Bible. Given whatever situation you're in, odds are pretty good that you're going to find somebody else that went through a similar time. We're talking about Samuel today as Saul's toast. He's out of there. And then what comes next? And Samuel's dealing with that, and he's upset. And then God's like, well, how long are you going to grieve? Not that you're not allowed to, but you don't stay there. And then moving forward. And so that's kind of where we're at in lesson two here, Sam, as we're kind of unpacking the blog post from today, which I put links up to, by the way, on Facebook Live, so you guys can go to the Steve Noble Show page and get it. But we're talking about this and walking through these lessons that we all need to learn. And so lesson two, instead of wallowing in uncertainty, we must obey God's instructions for the present and get with his program, because we know that God's always working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why, you know, you come back to a story like this. And as we said before the break, God knows what he's up to. Mm. You know, he's looking ahead, and he actually says it in the text. I have provided for myself a king. So Samuel, you're mourning over the king the people chose. I actually have a king that I'm going to choose. And the king that I'm going to choose has got an amazing program for the people. Hmm. And if Samuel had known what you and I know, I think we talked about this before.
Yeah.
If he knew what you and I know, he would have been so excited.
Piece of cake.
But Samuel's in the position we're all in. We never know the future.
Yeah.
The only thing we know is that we can trust God in the future based on all that we've seen him do over and over and over in his word, in stories like the one that we're reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 16. So lesson number one, God says to Samuel, you're going to have to resolve to stop grieving and accept my decisions about the past.
Sovereignty.
I know you don't like them. I know they're uncomfortable. I know they're fearful and chaotic for you. But you're going to have to let me be God. You're going to have to accept the decisions I have made in my kingdom and in my universe and in my world and in your life. And that's a huge lesson for me. And it's a huge lesson for each of us.
Sure.
We have to be willing to accept God's decisions, even when we don't like them or we wish they were different.
And then when we get past that, Sam, and then it's like, okay, now we got to obey what God's doing right now.
Correct.
This is one of the biggest challenges.
That's the second big idea.
And this is going to be one of the biggest challenges for most of us when, you know, you want to get things going in a conversation. Start trying to talk about what's God's will for my life. And now we're, you know, I got to turn over some tea leaves. I got to look for some open doors and closed doors. And what was the sign on the highway I just passed? Maybe God's talking to me. So how do we know what to do in the meantime? Because we know God's at work. But how do we kind of get with the program?
So in this text, God says to Samuel, all right, here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to get up and I want you to go to the house of Jesse because I have seen for myself a king there and you're going to anoint him. So I want you to get up. I want you to take your horn of oil. This was the ceremonial oil that the prophet would use to anoint the king. This was symbolic of God's anointing on his chosen one. And so all of a sudden, Samuel has got a bigger problem. He thought he had a problem about the whole thing. Now he's got a huge problem because to get to Jesse's house from his house, he had to go right by Saul's house.
Oops.
And that's a big, big if because Saul is ticked, Samuel's grieved, and all of a sudden he's going down to Jesse's house to pick the new king. And the old king is still on the throne, and he's going to be on the throne for the rest of the book.
Right.
And so Samuel throws his hands up, and he says to God, God, how can I do this? How are you getting me involved in this? Because if Saul hears this, he's going to kill me.
Right.
This isn't going to go well. If I traipse down to Jesse's house in Bethlehem and I show up there and Saul hears about this, this is going to go from bad to worse. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's our fear, isn't it? When God says to us, okay, now stop grieving over the decision I made.
Right.
I've got something I want you to do. And as he begins to unfold that thing step by step, initially we're like, wait a minute, this isn't going anywhere good. God, this could blow up in my face. You know, I know you're looking at 2022 just like I'm looking at 2022. And everything I'm seeing, you talked about inflation, you talked about all these other things.
Yeah.
2022 could blow up.
Oh, totally.
And so God's saying, look, I've got a plan for you in 2022. And you've got to stop grieving over what happened in 2021 so that in 2022 you can listen and you can do what I'm going to show you and what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, and that always that brings me back to this point of how do I know what to do now? Isn't there a lot that God's already revealed in his word about what
Absolutely.
We should be doing every day?
Absolutely. I mean, we can just go through the New Testament epistles and there are certain things that we don't even have to question.
Yeah.
Right. This is the will of God for your life. I mean, just trace that idea through the New Testament texts. So here is, to your point, here's God saying to Samuel, Samuel, when you get there, I'm going to show you and I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you what to do and I'm going to tell you who it is. And we're going to find out that when Samuel gets there, he forgot those two things.
Yeah.
And he almost anointed the wrong king.
Right. Yeah. Because I'm listening to this, and we're talking to Dr. Sam Horn from BJU Seminary on Theology Thursday. I'm listening to this going, okay, if I don't know exactly what the Lord is doing next, I don't know exactly what's happening because I can't pick up the Bible and read the end of our story in 2022, but I do know who the writer is. So I'm looking at it going, okay, I don't know where we're going to be in August, but I know who I'm supposed to be right now. And then as we go, the Lord will reveal the next thing to me. I have to be satisfied to just work on the lily pad he has me on today. Make sure I'm staying connected with the Lord in prayer, studying his word, loving people well, serving my wife, serving my children, providing for my family. Just keep doing the basics. But then God's eventually going to show you what's happening. But you got to pay attention
to
be ready.
Do the next right thing.
Yeah.
So Samuel,
so
you know that it's time to do a sacrifice. That's just part of the routine.
Right.
You know that Jesse and his family live in Bethlehem. Amazing introduction to the town of Bethlehem, one of the first times in our Bible that we read about Bethlehem outside of Ruth. And you know that, you know, because we have all this background, we know amazing things are about to happen.
Yeah.
But Sammy just knows, look, I got to do the next right thing. So it's amazing. He takes this heifer by the rope, and he goes to Jesse's house. And that action, that obedience changed everything. Mm. It's amazing how many times God's blessing hinges on small acts of regular obedience.
Yeah, see, that's so important. And I struggle with that one because God is a God of grace and mercy. So I'm not trying to earn his favor. I already have that.
Right.
But the practical matter is the more obedient you are to the things that he's already shown you, the more that's going to open up opportunities in the future as you grow in sanctification. And it is tied together, although it's not tied to my salvation, but it is tied to my next role, isn't it?
Correct. So Samuel's in his house in Ramah, and he's got to get to Bethlehem. And here we are at the beginning of 2022, and we got to get through the year.
Yeah.
So we can't do it sitting down, right? There has to be a progressive life of obedience to God, even in the midst of all of the chaos and all of the fear and all of the uncertainty. And God says to Samuel, here's your next thing. Take that cow and go to Bethlehem. And when you get there, find Jesse. And when you find Jesse, tell him to invite his family to a feast, a sacrificial feast that's going to honor me and that's going to end up honoring Jesse and Jesse's family.
And then the funny thing about that, Sam, is that all of a sudden when Jesse starts trotting out his boys, Samuel's right back in the same mindset that they
Absolutely.
Had previously. Oh, he's a stud. It's got to be him.
Yeah. So the first son comes in the door, and he's tall, just like Saul was tall, and he's handsome, and Samuel doesn't say anything, and God is silent. I mean, God has not said boo since the opening verses. And Samuel's like, that's him. That's the guy.
It's got to be
That's God's choice. That's who God saw. And he starts pulling out his horn, and he starts uncorking it to anoint. So just to kind of give you sort of a picture of this, you know, Queen Elizabeth is the longest reigning monarch on the earth right now.
Wow.
I mean, she's the oldest living, longest reigning monarch in a constitutional or monarchy in a country like England. So sooner or later, she's going to pass off the scene, and there's going to be a new monarch crowned. And you go to Westminster Abbey, and there's a formal ceremony, and you put the crown on the person's head, and that is sort of the transfer of power,
right,
the recognition, the establishement of the new monarch.
Yeah, so that's what's
that
on the line.
That ceremony is what Sammy was doing with the horn.
Yeah, that's
Can
what's
you imagine,
on the line.
You know, here we are in Westminster Abbey, and the archbishop takes the crown and puts it on the wrong head.
Oh, yeah, that's a great scene.
That'd be a disaster.
Yeah, that'd be a good Netflix series. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. We're going to talk here in a minute about something coming to the campus of BJU Seminary down in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina, coming up on all day on Monday, January 31st, and then half the day on Tuesday, February 1st. It's called the Core Conference. We'll let Sam, Dr. Sam Horn explain that a little bit more, but I want to really encourage all of us, consider doing this as a gift to your pastor, associate pastor, the pastors on the staff at your church. They don't get spoiled very often. We look to them more for caring for us as opposed to us for caring for them. And so that's something we all need to work on. So we're really going to encourage you to consider this. Unless you're a pastor, of course, then we want you to love yourself well and go here and get this kind of encouragement and teaching, which we're going to get into. But working our way through kind of the challenges most of us face, whether we're talking about the state of the nation as we've changed, obviously, a year ago and Biden becomes the president, out with Trump, in with Joe, everything that's gone along with that, the economy, inflation, Omicron, COVID, the Supreme Court, there's all kinds of things going on. There's financial problems on the horizon. We don't know when they're going to get here. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so how do you kind of deal with that? Saul was being taken out. He's about done. And so you got Samuel in there going, oh, how do I do that? And then Israel's in bad shape. We're losing our king that we wanted. Like, people were excited about that. And so kind of transitioning, how do you deal with it when you're fearful, you're mourning the past, you're not really excited about the future? And that's why this is such an important lesson today. And we appreciate you being with us today, Dr. Sam Horn. It's great to have you as always.
Thank you. So let me just quickly just summarize kind of where we were. resolution number one that Sammy had to come to was acceptance. I have to accept the decisions that God has made. And I'm not happy about those decisions. I'm fearful, all of the things we talked about. So I've got to accept. And then secondly, I've got to take steps of obedience. What is God telling me to do now? In the midst of all of this, without giving me explanations about the future, what is God asking me to do next? What's the next right step? And that's true for us as a nation. That's true for us as a church. And that's certainly true for you and me as individual Christians. What is the next step of obedience? And that's what we see Samuel doing. God says to Samuel, I'm going to give you a task to do, and I'm going to tell you how to do that task step by step. And Samuel got up, and he did exactly what God told him to do. And so we pick the story up. He's left his house. He's made his way past Saul's house. He's got down to Jesse's house, and he did it exactly like God told him to do. And when he gets there, Jesse brings his boys in. And Jesse has no idea why he's bringing his boys in. Samuel's rather like, okay, one of these boys is going to be the next king. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he sees the first son, Eliab, it's like, that's the dude. That's the guy. And God has to stop him. He's about to crown right. the wrong king.
Like you said, it's just like they're going to put the crown on the wrong person to succeed the
in
queen.
Westminster Abbey.
Like, yeah, that's a bad day.
About to happen. Yeah. And so God graciously stops that, and he says to Samuel, in essence, Samuel, you're thinking just like the nation thought. When you were so upset at the nation when they thought this way and chose Saul, and here you are, and you're about to make the same mistake. And that's an important lesson for us as we come into a year like we're coming into. It's very easy to repeat the mistakes of our past because we're so desperate to change the present.
That's a great
And that's
point.
Where Samuel is.
Yeah, and then Marlon on Facebook Live, this is funny, I'd forgotten about this. So back in 2015, in the Miss Universe pageant, Steve Harvey, who was the host, remember this? He crowned Miss Columbia, so he actually wore the crown for a couple minutes, but she didn't win. It was supposed to be the lady from the Philippines. So he had to take the crown off of Miss Columbia and then put it on the crown, they put the crown on Miss Philippines. Talk about a classic mistake. I mean, it's just huge, embarrassing, brutal. But we do the same thing. We'll get ahead of God, as my buddy Bill said. You get ahead of your headlights, and all of a sudden, wow.
You run into stuff. Right?
Yep.
I mean, and so that's what happened to Samuel. So here he is, and God says to him, Samuel, this is not the right one. And there's an important lesson here, because God is about to expose something. God's about to help Samuel with an important lesson that I think is at the heart of this. He's going to help Samuel understand why he made that mistake. Mm-hmm. And he says to Samuel, you look, as a man, you look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so, you know, here's Samuel. And so number one, he's got to accept what God's decided. Number two, he's got to obey what God is directing. But number three, he's got to pay attention to how God is revealing. He's got to pay attention to what God is revealing. And because at the very beginning, God said, when you get there, I'm going to show you and I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And God is silent when the sun start coming in. And so at the end, Samuel says, all right, there's got to be another kid. Jesse, are these all of your boys? Right. And Jesse's like, well, yeah, there's one more, but none of us thought he should come here. He's out in the fields, take care of the sheep. And Samuel says, bring him. And the minute David walks in the door, God says to Samuel, that's my king.
Cue the music.
That's my king. It's amazing. All right, so what's the lesson? Because this was really shocking to me. And there's certainly like a surface lesson in the sense that we tend to be so impressed by the outer credentials of a person,
right. You
know, his stature, his achievement, his resume, when God is much more interested in the inner life of that person, in the character of that person. So that's sort of like the obvious lesson. But there's an even more important lesson here and that lesson is this. God is saying to Samuel, your eyes cannot see where they need to see.
Bingo.
Your eyes do not have the ability to penetrate where they need to penetrate. Because, you know, you and I have two sets of eyes. You know, I don't know if you wear contacts or not. I wear glasses.
But
my eyes can only see to a certain level. You know, they're humanly limited in what they can see.
Right.
And God is saying, my eye is not limited that way. My eye is the only eye that can see where your eye can't. And where your eye can't see is the very place we need to be looking. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to see what your eye can't see, you're going to have to listen to what I tell you I see. You're going to have to learn to look with your ears. You're going to have to see with your ears. And what do you mean by that? You're going to have to listen to me tell you what I see in a man's life and what I see in a man's heart. And so that's huge for us, right? So we go into 2022, and I guarantee that every listener out there is probably like me. We have our opinions about how things should be.
Sure.
We have our opinions about what should happen. We're full of fear and anxiety, but we're also fairly confident as Christians that God's got this, but we've got our opinions about how God should get us to where we know he's going to take us. And God is saying through this passage, now, wait a minute, you've got to stop and you've got to listen.
Yeah.
And you've got to wait for me to show you and to tell you the way. Whether that's, you know, something like your parents and my parents and what they're going through health-wise, or what's happening in the economy, or what we do about our job, or the decisions we make about the vaccination mandates and the midterm elections that are coming up, all these things God is saying to us, now, if you're going to navigate this, you're going to have to make a resolution not to make a move that I don't show you,
that
I don't confirm to you out of my word.
Yep, always got to be equating with the word. So as we, in the last few minutes, Sam, we're talking to Dr. Sam Horn from BJU Seminary. You know, it's helpful to have some good leadership when we're struggling with stuff like this, which brings us to pastors and the CORE conference. So this is coming up on Monday, January 31st, and half the day on Tuesday, February 1st. So how does this kind of flow into what's going to be happening down there to serve pastors?
Well, none of us occupy a solo spot. We don't operate in a vacuum.
Right.
And conservative evangelical leaders in the church right now are desperately needing to hear from God. And sometimes it helps when certain people who have studied God's word diligently on a particular topic that I may not have had the time or the resources to study, actually study that and can give me some good, sound, theological perspective on key issues of the day. And that's exactly what's going to happen at the CORE conference this year. So the first thing is, I would say, it's an important way for us to get the mind of God out of his word on core key issues of the day. And secondly, Steve, I would say this. Pastoring today, in the kind of world that we're in, we are having to help a lot of people, but who's helping us?
Right, exactly.
Right. There's a loneliness. I mean, if you start looking at the church and kind of the blogs that are talking to pastors, there's just a tiredness. There's sort of like, man, we're out of gas. Mm-hmm. We're alone. We're lonely. And there's something that happens when we come together. And yes, we're hearing great teaching and great preaching, but we're together.
Yeah.
And you look around and there's a couple of hundred other guys that are in the same trench you're in. And then you're having lunch together and you're praying together and you're talking together. And something happens in that component that goes way beyond the great teaching and the great resources. It's the togetherness. It's us coming and saying, we're Samuel. We're grieving.
Right.
We're confused. We don't know what to do. And
mutual
God, please show us. And we listen to the good teaching we're going to get, but we also get on our knees and we say to God, confirm that to us, not just to me, to us. So one of the greatest things anybody could do for their pastor or their associate pastor or their ministry leaders is get them to the CORE conference, because there's so much that happens.
Yeah, and that mutual encouragement is so important. I was having lunch with a good friend that's a pastor. And the guy that's the chairman of my board, and we started talking about a couple other churches, and then the chairman on my board, who had never met the pastor, says, oh, do you know this pastor? Do you know this pastor? Do you get to know many other pastors much? And he's like, nope, I don't have time for that. So you exist, and that's not abnormal, that's normal. So you exist on an island because you're so busy doing all your stuff and serving your church, but you don't really have much time to get together with other pastors. That's a huge aspect of the CORE conference. So if you just go to the website, same website we always push you to, seminary.bju.edu/radio, and you'll see the CORE conference right there so that you can help enable your pastor to get encouraged and equipped so he knows how to deal with 2022. Dr. Sam Horn, God bless you, brother. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. God willing, everybody, I'll talk to you again real soon.
another program powered by the Truth Network.